You know, there was a more controversial photos, I guess, in the sports world that.
One where Paulie Malignaggi is just getting beat up by Conor McGregor?
Yeah, I saw McGregor just knocked. It looked like he knocked him cold. I feel like he was just out.
Conor's really good.
Yeah, certainly created a bit of a firestorm. And Paulie Malignaggi joins us on the phone right now. What's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, guys? How are you?
We are good.
Not even a laugh at that lead-in. You were getting your ass kicked, buddy. Come on.
You know, I asked a lot of people to do was just try to get a lot of reporters. You figure the common sense thing to do would be try to get Joe Cortez on the horn and kind of ask him how much of that was a knockdown and how much of it was a pushdown. You know, I think as the referee, and get him on the phone. He gave an interview, if you guys saw it, after the first sparring, so you figure like he's allowed to give one after the second sparring, but many reporters have called me telling me that Joe Cortez has been gagged and he's not allowed to speak on sparring. Because it would be the common sense thing to do is the guy to ask about it, whether it's a knockdown or not. You know, if any rational reporter would just call the referee, right? Well, he's in the picture and he's there. But I think you get all the clues you need when suddenly the guy's been gagged when he wasn't gagged after the first sparring.
Well, I don't know that anybody here ever believed it to begin with for the first thing. So we're just kind of talking about that. But I guess what were your emotions like when you saw it? And we know what the fault has been and that you ended up leaving the camp. You're not, participating anymore. But I guess what was the first time you saw the picture and that it was out there and it was kind of being, misconstrued and misrepresented? How did that feeling kind of process in your mind?
Well, it's obvious that, it's not a knockdown. I mean, you really, if anybody has been around boxing gyms long enough, you know that knockdowns in the gym are very rare. You know, they happen, but they're very rare,
Yeah.
People want to believe what they want to believe, pick up their own reality into their mind and then hope that it's true. And they look for any excuse to believe that it's true and hope that it's true. And we saw that in the presidential election. You know, people will twist a small truth and then make it into a huge fib, The truth, the only truth of the picture is that me and Conor McGregor sparred. That's about all you can get out of that picture. You can't really get anything else because there's no other truth in that picture,
Yeah.
But regardless of the fact, I was a little bit taken aback because I had spoken to Conor about these kind of pictures because 2 weeks ago he put one up about his having to change his mind back. And then we had just worked the second time that night before the picture came out, the two nights before the picture came out. And I told him, hey, listen, buddy, I said, I'm a bigger name than these other sparring partners. Nobody knows who they are, so when you put a picture of them, nobody can reach out to them anyway because they don't know who they are. And I'm a big name in this business, so when you put pictures out of me, it put me in a compromising position because I don't want to talk about sparring with you. There's an NDA agreement here we have. I don't want to talk about your tactics and stuff. And I'd rather, not be put in the position where suddenly I'm going to get mobbed by the media because they want to know about sparring. Because you're putting up these pictures, it's against everything you made me sign, right? So let's work together on this and have a good camp, And he didn't give me an exact no, which was kind of weird to me, and it kind of was supposed to show me the personality that he was, but I wasn't sure if he would put it out. And then obviously there we went again a couple of days later. He waited a day, and then it kind of, probably what my opinion of it is that the Tuesday sparring burned at him, and he took a day to process it, and then Thursday he couldn't hold it anymore. He had to put them out because Tuesday he caught a nice beating from me. And unfortunately, that was, I think that was the demise. He's a very arrogant person. Just anybody who tries to do this kind of stuff is very arrogant in general. I mean, there's no code or ethics, so he thinks he's bigger than all that. He did it with Chris Van Heerden already one time, and I should have known that he's this kind of person to begin with. And then here we are. He does it. He tries it with me again. The only difference he learned with Van Heerden was that he makes sure to make everybody check their phones and cameras at the door this time around, because Van Heerden wound up having to stop people sparring. I did not. So the only thing he learned about that was to just do it in a more sneaky fashion.
Paulie Malignaggi is with Cofield & Company talking about the split with the Conor camp. So you clearly stated there multiple times, am I correct, that you think that was at the request of Conor McGregor? He's the one who said put the pictures out?
Absolutely, yeah. He actually DM'd me the pictures the next morning. But he DM'd them to me and he didn't write anything. He direct messaged them to me, but he didn't write anything. Basically, I think he wanted to show me that he had them. The way I took it at that moment when I saw them, he wanted to show me that he had them, but he didn't post them, not that day, not the next day, he didn't post them. So I took it as, okay, he understands what I spoke to him about yesterday, and he's being cool about it, but he posted another picture. It was just me and him squaring off in the one picture he posted, So it's like kind of less pressure on me with the media, Again, I don't want to talk about squaring with the media anyway. So he held on to it. He obviously showed me he had it. I took it as, I try to see the good in people, so I took that as, he's showing me he has it, but he's not posting it. Nice. All right, cool. All good. But like I said, I don't think Tuesday's sparring session sat too well with him. So by Thursday, I don't think he could even, maybe he was asleep over it. if he just ate at him. By Thursday, he released everything.
So what does that mean? It didn't sit well with him. Did he expect you to come in? Isn't a point of bringing in sparring partners, you know, make it better, go against someone tough? What did he expect?
Yeah,
Did you not try, and you know, just tend to wax you?
I mean, what I always wanted out of my sparring partners was the best of them. I never put them in compromising positions. I always try to keep them happy and try to get, you know, keep them on a regular schedule so that they got used to a regular schedule. Don't try to put any tricks up my sleeve for them and whatnot. That way, with the schedule and whatnot, there's tricks with the schedule and whatnot. Like, this guy had random schedules, like last-minute changes and whatnot. He always tried to get one up on his sparring partners. It's weird because that's not what you're going to find on fight night. On fight night, you're going to have a guy who's fresh and knows is up with the schedule, and you know, you're going to be dealing with a very good fighter. So I think you have to get used to yourself used to being uncomfortable in the gym so that you can get used to being uncomfortable on fight night in case you are uncomfortable on fight night. But Conor's arrogance kind of, he just wants yes men around him. He wants to be cheerleaded. He doesn't want anybody to tell him anything negative. He wants to have the advantage. If anything goes, he's above the codes and ethics and morals of the sport and whatnot. And, you know, I guess, you know, what I'm saying, what I mean by it didn't sit well with him, it means that his arrogance probably was eating away at him because he caught a nice beating from me on Tuesday once I got going, once I got the juice flowing after a few rounds. I'll tell you this, he hung tough for the first five rounds, caught a nice one from me the next five rounds, and then the last two I kind of tired out. I was 24 hours off a flight, so, and I had worked the entire week prior. I was away back in New York working the Bono Garcia fight. So, you know, I think, though, the bottom line is he understood between the first and second sparring session there was a big difference. And the difference with me and him is I've done this 20 years of my life. So, for me, it's muscle memory. Once I get in shape and my conditioning comes back and my sharpness comes back, I grow exponentially faster than he can. He's learning all new things. For me, it's muscle memory. Once I get in shape and conditioning sharp, I am getting sharper at a much faster rate than you ever can. This is what I did. This is not what you did. You know, it's just like if I went into the cage, he'd have the advantage the other way around. So I think between the first and second sparring, he noticed a major difference. And he thought he caught me coming off the plane. He thought he caught me at a good moment. You know, he thought he caught me with a surprising me by telling me that I'm going 12, which is unheard of. No sparring partner has ever expected me to go 12. He thought he caught me with all the advantages, and then it still didn't go well for him. So for him, imagine what he's thinking in the third and fourth sparring sessions are going to be. You know, the best thing for him would be to do is embarrass me, try to piss me off enough to leave camp. And that's essentially what ended up happening. You know, I looked at those pictures and I said, this is not something I can ever win because I got the better of him on Tuesday in sparring, and yet these pictures are out, and you know, the media is having a firestorm with them. I'm going to keep getting better and sharper, probably beating him up even worse and worse. And all that's going to happen is that all that's going to happen is he's going to continue to put these kind of pictures up and paint this derogatory picture of me, so he can get himself ahead. It was a bit frustrating because I went there to help. I went there to try to, you know, my best foot forward as far as, you know, doing my part to help in his training camp. No matter who gets the better of who, I'm never the person to talk about it. You know, this all came out because he put me in this position. My history tells you, if you look me up any part of my career over 20 years, you know, I've never talked about sparring and how it went or whatnot. You can't find anything, really, you know, so... So it's I thought it was a shame. It was a bit disappointing, but like I said, it's the guy with no ethics and no code and no morals. He'd done it before, so I should have realized it.
I think, and that's the voice of Paulie Malignaggi, who was at camp with Conor McGregor. A little dust up that we saw last week on social media with some photos that were released, and Paulie left. I'm going to ask you this question because it's out there and people are talking about it. But I think I know some things that are not public that will that would answer the question for me anyway. But I just want to ask you, because there are people that say this is all part of the promotion, it's all a bit, and it's all just you guys trying to generate more talk.
So what? Say that again?
So there is a narrative out there that the whole thing between you and Conor was just kind of drummed up to create interest. I don't believe that's true because I have talked to people who would know. I just wanted you to address that's all part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Conor is the kind of guy who will step on anybody in life to get ahead. I mean, I think that's the the image I got of him. You know, between what he's done before I even got there, the way he treats people in general. You know, he had us in some dilapidated crack house on the outside of outskirts of Vegas. I didn't ask for any special treatment. I didn't negotiate my price past what they offered me the first time because I wanted to put my best foot forward and show my goodwill towards this camp, you know. But Conor is the kind of person that wants to get ahead and do anything to get ahead. You know, he's the kind of person you can't trust. But people like that, more so than anything, I don't associate with. I don't need to be the richest person in the world. I don't need to be the most famous person in the world. If I can pay my bills and have a comfortable life, which I have, I'm totally fine with that. But his ego is so driven by a maniacalness of needing to have everybody kiss his ass, so to speak, that if they're not, if it's not happening, if anything could happen that where that is not happening, he gets in panic mode and he gets weird. He has no code or ethics. He thinks he's above everything, above that code or ethics. So he'll do any, he'll break any rule, he'll break any code in order to do that. You know, there's a code with boxing and sparring. It's just a small code, but it's a code, you know, and all fighters respect each other. It's all the same muscle. It's all the same struggle in life to be a fighter for a living, you know. This guy's putting sparring partners who, you know, don't come from a very good living, throwing them in little crack houses instead of giving them a fun experience. I mean, for me, I don't have to take it. You know what I mean? I got money. I could just leave. You know, I didn't need the issue. I didn't need the problem. But for those guys, you know, they got to stay there. You know, they got to live like that. It just for me to see how those people guys get treated, despite the level he's on and despite the level he says he was on 4 or 5 years ago, which to me is BS. Nobody was that poor that long ago. So he's treating people that lowly, you know, that badly. You know, he's renting himself a Lamborghini in camp, but he puts his farm partners and some of his team even. And what essentially amounts to what used to be a work for your crack house. You know?
Where, hey, Paulie, where was it? Why was it so bad? What was this house?
Outskirts of Las Vegas. It was like in a ghetto neighborhood. I mean, people have told me like a shot there and whatnot. You know, I mean, everybody knows it. When I gave people the address in private, they were like, "Wow, that's unbelievable." You know, so you know, it is what it is. I didn't complain when I got there. For me, by the end of camp, though, it was just a little bit of everything in general. Eventually, I just got on my nerves, and I was like, all right, you know, this is enough. Of course, the picture was the final say. But there had been a lot of things. Every little thing, you feel like you have to be guarded every single day. They throw curveballs into the schedule, into things. You know, like I said, you maybe do 12 rounds coming right off a plane, 24 hours. He had invited a bunch of delegates over for that sparring session for 12 rounds, like that Dana White, Lorenzo Fertitta. Usually, his sparring is so private, but he thought he called me off the plane. He's gonna make me do 12 rounds, which he thought I wasn't ready for. He's better than a few of them so they could watch him stop me in the gym, or so he thought. And then when it didn't go his way, the egg was on his face. You know what I'm saying? He caught a beat in front of all these people, and not only did he catch a beating, but because I was so mad from the first time, because I was so mad about the way he set all this up, I was actually talking trash the whole time. I was trashing him the whole sparring. Besides beating him up, I was talking trash to him. I was talking trash to Dana White. It wasn't a good look for him on Tuesday, and I think this all ate at him eventually. Why everything happens, but I mean, I wouldn't have been this much this kind of person if I didn't have to be so defensive. I went there with the best intentions. I would have always sparred hard. I would have always sparred in a way where, you know, I would have put him in position to have to work hard. But I would have never been this kind of a person as far as all the trash talk and all this other stuff that kind of came with it. It's just, you know, he left me no choice. I got to protect my image as well.
Yeah, I know you don't want to talk about, you know, tactics and that sort of thing that you got from camp, but is he like a guy who has never had a professional boxing match before?
I mean, listen, he's not like a guy who just comes in the gym and just starts. I mean, Conor has combat experience, so there's definitely a style all his own to it. You know, he's taken what he has in his past as far as combat sports are concerned, and he's mixing what he can from that experience into his boxing. So it's also never going to be a very common boxing style. It's a very unique boxing style, you know. Having said that, you know, there are things I don't agree with, and I can't get into that. You know, I think on fight night, when I get into the X's and O's, because I'm always the kind of analyst that breaks down X's and O's. I think any idiot can give an opinion. I've always prided myself on not being the kind of analyst that, you know, goes off opinion. I go off X's and O's and breakdowns and details and whatnot. And I have those kind of things in mind. I would have actually shared them with Connor, so that it would have helped him improve it. They would have been open-minded enough for me. But I haven't, you know, at this point, what's happened, it happened, you know. But I'm fighting now, you know, I'll get into some of these external and these tactical things. And what maybe people should look for, and, you know, if A happens, then B may happen. If B doesn't happen, if A happens, or C might happen, you know what I'm saying? So on and so forth. You know, I love that kind of stuff. And I'll break all that stuff down on fight night, you know, because right now it would compromise the integrity of the fight if I got into that kind of stuff now.
Without telling us anything specific about the sparring, I'll just go down this path. There's an over-under on punches landed for Conor McGregor, 20. That seems absurd to me that he's going to fight in this fight and not be able to land 20 punches. Is it absurd?
20 punches in 12 rounds? Yeah, I think that's absurd. You know,
okay, good.
You know, I think 20 punches, but no. Also,
Wait. He'll land more than 20 punches?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. Here's the thing. I mean, punches landed are there's not really a definitive factual stat for that. CompuBox is just a guy pressing numbers with his interpretation of what landed and what didn't land. So there's not, it's not actually, those CompuBox stats are never facts anyway. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of, I suggest to people to watch the fight themselves and see what's landing, what's not landing. Don't take the stats, don't take the stats as a fact, you know, because it's just one person's interpretation. If you think, if your eyes may tell you something better, something different, you know? And also the thing about CompuBox and punch stats is it doesn't tell you how clean a punch is landing. A punch may land, but it may not have landed cleanly. So the effects of it is not the same thing. You know, even though it says power shot, it may, the power shot may have landed partially, you know? But the CompuBox and CompuStats don't tell you the difference between a partially landed shot and a fully landed shot. So those also count for a lot as well. So, you know, people should watch the fight and educate themselves, you know, and really watch the fight and through their own eyes and really watch carefully, you know? And you know, don't let anybody tell you what's going on. Watch the fight yourself.
Hey, Paulie, how prominent is it that there are leaks from training camps? I'm not saying you would do this, but if Floyd really cared and he was like, how common are leaks, you know, like how, like someone would go to Paulie Malignaggi and go, hey, I want the inside dirt on Connor, you know, here's $200,000.
I don't really know how common it is. I mean, I've never heard of it.
You ever worry about it in your camps?
No, okay. I didn't, honestly. No, I just made sure, you know, there was no recording, pictures taken.
Right.
I always had enough respect to not take pictures of my farm partners and compromise the positions as well. I always try to have, like, a family atmosphere in camp, you know. I really always made sure that farm partners were okay. I kept them in much better places to live than where I was put or where the farm partners here were put. You know, one thing I expressed was that I never had a $100 million fight, but I had multiple fights where there was seven figures involved. And so at that point, the budget for a training camp is expensive, and, you know, you kind of get organized about it. But as organized as we were, I always treated my guys better. I was almost shocked at the Cheapskate that that was. It was amazing because then he goes ahead and has the gall to rent himself a Lamborghini. I was, you know, which is fine. You can do anything you want with your money. But, you know, you're proving to me the person you are, the individual you are, with this kind of treatment of these other guys, you know? And I say these other guys because I left.
Hey, Paulie, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, buddy. You have a good one.
There you go. Paulie Malignaggi.